We're back. I'm your host. My name is
Scott Duncan, and we're on Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com here in Stouffville. Friends out there, if anyone of you anywhere has a sense that they would like to get together and maybe chair or start up a group such as you're listening to here today, whether it's one or two or 10 people, it doesn't really matter, but when we sit down and we share our burdens, a lot of good things seem to happen. There seems to be the beginning of some healing and so on. So anybody in Stouffville, you know, look us up, see what we do, listen to some of our broadcasts, go to our site, sharingtheburden.ca, and you can pick up several broadcasts. This one will be available in a couple of days, I would guess, now. And you know, don't hold me to that. Could be 3 or 4 days, but either way, it will be available, and we'd love to get someone to start a meeting out there, a regular meeting where people can go and not just have to listen to us guys talking on the air. So, friends, I want to get Lloyd to share somewhat now on how he can share on whatever he likes, but we're talking about a continuing program. This phase of our program talks about continuing and, you know, with our sobriety, whatever that means to each of us individually. But the key word here is continuing to look at, you know, where I am and when I mess up to amend that situation right away, to fix it there so that we don't go around with too much baggage, you know. God knows we have enough baggage when we come into a program like this that, you know, we do our best to unload and we don't want to keep reloading. And that's what happens if we don't do regular inventories of where we're at in our life and what's good about today and what's not so good and so on. So you mentioned, Lloyd, you said, well, I've not done an inventory, but I'm going to challenge you on that only because I know you're constantly working on your own recovery, and to do that, you pretty much have to be having a look at where you're at and how you're doing day by day, and you do, and you do a lot of it naturally by way of sharing on your programs, and you know, that's sharing's what it's all about, and you do it different ways. In what you do, you know, motivates a lot of other people to do the same, and that's wonderful. I think we have to get together like this as often as we can, and I don't mean just us guys. I mean anybody who's interested in recovering from anything that may not be so pleasing in their lives ends up doing this. But we need to get together, and we need to share, and we do. You know, we need to do some of it person on person too. So when you think of that inventory, you did say that you didn't take any, but any comments on how you live your life and keep amending it and staying sober?
Thanks for having me on the program again, Scott. I look forward to coming, you know, each time. And we're talking about the vulnerability, if I could talk about that for a little bit. Yeah, vulnerability, that's a very good subject. You know, when I look back to where I was and where I am now, I try and not to put myself in a vulnerable position. Because, you know, I could I can remember some of the recovery house and detoxes. I was at a detox for 22 times, and you know, and now I try and put myself and not put myself in the position where I'm going to be vulnerable. I try and you know, hang around with people that are not using, and and what I have now and what I had before is no comparison. And if I put myself to be in a vulnerable position, I could lose all that within the blink of an eye. So, you know, I try and really make sure that I don't become vulnerable in a position where, you know, I can lose everything, and that keeps me focused on going forward, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you say, a twinkling of an eye, like it doesn't take any time at all to get back where we were, does it, in any way, shape, or form. And if we're a drug or, you know, alcoholic or a drug addict, we understand that should we go back, we don't go back and get to start all over again like we did as a young kid. We get to kind of start over where we left off, and that means we're not much time left if we keep going that route. So, I mean, it's it's a very scary situation. But when you made that decision somehow, you know, however you did that, you may want to share that, but you made the decision to pack it in. How did you feel vulnerability-wise, or did you even think about it back then? You
know? I never thought about it then. I just I was fed up. Fed up the way I was living and, you know, fed up with the people around me getting ripped off, and I wanted to find a new way to live. And, you know, I made a decision to put myself in a recovery house and go forward. And then even though I was in the recovery house, there was people there that that were using still. And, you know, it didn't bother me because at that time I already made up my mind to go forward, you know, come hell or high waters. So, mm-hmm. you know, the vulnerability for me is not... It's not really there. I don't know if that's true. Correct saying that. It's not really there for me. It's not something that I look at. You know, I don't want to give myself another option. You know, I don't want to start all over again. Yeah. You know, because, you know, with the drugs out there today, it's different. It's a different game. And you know, the next time could be the last time. So I try and not be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, in other words, protective issue, boundaries, we could say.
Yes.
Use boundaries to stay away from, you know, people doing that stuff and the stuff itself and so on. So, and you see, you know, you mentioned the drugs today, and we all know I've lost my only son to fentanyl some 6 years ago. And, you know, I'm... My greatest burden right now, I mean, aside from hurting people in general, is probably... the carfentanyl pusher, and you know, and not because I don't believe he also probably has an illness like anybody else, but that those are such damaging and destructive drugs that, you know, we're touching some white powder and it happens to be carfentanyl. It could be enough to kill somebody and anyone else he touched with it. You know, so anyway, we're on the bandwagon to get rid of that stuff and to really get serious about the whole opiate scene in general, but especially those two. We get rid of those two, and we got 90% of the thing beat today, I think. And you lost a lot of friends in the last part of your. Journey there, and you know that. And Eddie, you've probably lost people too, haven't you, over the...
I have known people through the rooms and stuff that have had that problem and are no longer here. You know, I didn't know particularly a lot about fentanyl until I met you and how devastating it can be, but now it seems to be on the news every 10 minutes. And, you know, I even know in Kelowna now, they just... There was a guy pushing fentanyl and carfentanyl on the internet in Kelowna, and there was just an arrest, and he ended up being the fourth largest fentanyl dealer in North America.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like which is good. They got that stuff off the market now.
Yeah. It's almost where, you know, the American system, as Lloyd mentioned earlier on, is a lot more drastic when it comes to sentencing and so on. But for that stuff, I'm behind them 100%. I wish we'd do that here. Now, there are a lot of circumstances, but anybody who would be moving that stuff around is killing people, you know, and we can't allow that, you know. Mm-hmm. And no matter how the person fits into a career in jail, and by the same token, if he or she's an addict too, we got a big problem on rehabilitation. It doesn't happen very much in the jails I attend regularly anyway to run support meetings, and so many have OD'd, you know, 5, 10, 15 times even on fentanyl, and someone around had the you know, the antidote and was able to bring them back, you know. And that everybody doesn't carry those kits either, so you know how these people, you know, it's almost as though they know they're going to be brought back, but the lure is so big, and that's scary when these people say, well, yeah, as soon as I get out, I'm going to do it again. I'm thinking, you know what I mean?
Like, that's crazy.
No, but it's they even say that, you know, just like that, you know. So. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention quickly is, you know, addicts, alcoholics, compulsive people generally have a higher intelligence than the average person who never got involved with these kinds of things. So when you know, when you guys get to a place where you're doing productive stuff, you're probably a lot more productive than the average Joe out there. So, I mean, there's things go a lot of different ways. And, I mean, you know, we don't have to find a way to escape so much in life if we're not thinking a lot about what our life is really like. So it's kind of the thinkers, I think, that end up so much astray in so many different ways. And I think it's the same thinkers that are, in most cases, able to reason themselves back into something, and we call it recovery here, where we, you know, come together and share the deepest thoughts and the greatest hurts, and you know, and mostly defer to a higher power, where we don't find men or women who have the answers for us. So, and I think that relationship over time is what makes the difference. You know, how we connect and reason and communicate with our God as we understand God too, and not as I understand or as Eddie or Lloyd, but God as each and every one of us know and accept such. So we're not alone is an important thing. A couple of numbers here just before we wrap up. There are 2.5 million people today who are sober in AA. There's 1.5 million people today who are sober in NA, that's Narcotics Anonymous. AA is Alcoholics Anonymous. For every person who is not suffering today, or suffering or not, who is in recovery, there are probably 5 anyway, other people who are, you know, affected by, but now feeling a lot better. So, you know, if we got like 4 million addicts, alcoholics in sobriety right now, working 12 steps, you know, we've got how many? 5 times that, you know. So we've got another 20 million who are feeling much better about life. But actually, folks, those people need recovery too, in so many different ways. When you're beat up by other people's abuse for years and years and years, you suffer as much as them, sometimes worse. But anyway, I'm going to leave that. But extrapolate those numbers. Realize there's over 200 working 12-step fellowships out there. Do some numbers and you'll realize that a quarter of the world anyway is affected by this kind of stuff, and you know, and we're just scratching the surface. So folks, we're gonna have to hit the road here, and I want to thank Eddie and thank Lloyd for coming back. We'll bring him back on and off over and over, I hope. So gentlemen, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott, for having us.
Yeah. Come on back again. We'll set another date before we go. So, just one quick thing here. Let me do this for my friend Lloyd here. It's a young boy named Simeon, 8-year-old. King Sim is written here. Is that a nickname or something?
Yeah, that's what I call him.
No, that's what you call it, King Sim. Mom is Teresa, and the young fella has a condition called severe aplastic anemia. Basically a rare form of bone marrow failure. He's enduring bouts of seizures. He's currently in Sick Kids Hospital, been in there for the last week pretty much. When he was diagnosed, there were only 7 children registered worldwide with the condition. Folks, please pray for this little guy, and then whatever is needed, let's make sure that God provides it, but that we as humans do everything we can to help this little guy get through it all. So, again, he's in Sick Kids. His name's, I was going to say King Sim, but Simeon, and his mom's Teresa. So if you can keep that in your prayers, doctors are trying to regulate his medications to see if this is why he's having seizures. So thank you very much, and that'll do it. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show and hope you'll share it. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.